Welcome to the new Chinmaya room. This room is named after Pooja Gurudev Swami Chinmayanandaji, who was the founder of our mission and has been a guide and inspiration for millions of us throughout the world. It was his idea, his concept to start this mission, and the format and how the teachings are conducted and everything is the work of one great Mahatma. How one person can change so many lives, you can see. And ours is one of the smaller missions. There are many centers throughout the world where they have 1,500, 2,000 students. Houston has a very huge center. So last week, we were talking about the four castes, the Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. The Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. And we said that castes are based on guna and karma. Sri Krishna says in the fourth chapter, Chaturvarna Maya Srishtam, Guna Karma Vibhaga Yoho. So these four castes were created based on gunas and karmas, based on their qualities and their activities. And these castes are not only in India, they are all over the world, because there are four categories of people. There are the Brahmanas. Brahmanas are the scholars, the people who do research, those who are professors in the university. You can call them a Brahmana. It doesn't matter. They may not wear a tilak or they do the puja, but if they are teachers, professors, research scholars, people who are doing research in labs, you know, like NIH or the space research. So anywhere where new thinking is going on, those people are Brahmanas. The second category are the leaders, the Kshatriyas, or the leaders who were the warriors, who were the rulers and the, you know, and the warrior class, the soldiers, the generals. And their job was to protect the country. Nowadays, the Kshatriyas are the senators and the congressmen and the governors and the president. So those are the leaders of the community. The third class, Vaishyas, are the businessmen. And the businessmen, the farmers, people who own factories, so people who run the economy of the country. You can count stock traders and stock, you know, all the share business and all of that. Wherever money is generated, those people are Vaishyas. And then the third category is the Shudras. Shudras are the workers. Workers who work in the fields, who work in the home, you know, domestic workers or farm workers or factory workers, or the secretaries in the office, the janitors. So these classes are there throughout the world. In India, unfortunately, they became so rigid that they were based on birth, you know, because the Brahmanas and the Kshatriyas, to protect their power, they said, oh, Brahmana said, my son will automatically be a Brahmana. He may be a duffer. He may not know how to read. He may not know how to chant the mantras, but automatically he is classified. And a Kshatriya says, my son. And this problem is not only in the US, everywhere, even in England. You know, when the kings were there in Europe, a king's son automatically, Henry the VII, Henry the VIII, Henry the IX. The guy may be alcoholic, drunkard, you know, doesn't ever go to the court, but he's a king. Like Nero in Rome, you know, he when Rome was being attacked, Nero fiddled. That's what they said. He was drunk and he was having parties and playing music. And Rome was being attacked, and that's how Rome went down, because the rulers were not chosen based on qualification, but based on birth. So this caste system based on birth is a corruption of the original caste system. Krishna never intended that. Ancient Hindu religion never talked about birth. It said guna and karma. So if you are doing research and teaching, you are a Brahmana. Doesn't matter which family you belong to. If you are a leader of the country, if you are a senator or a congressman, you are automatically a Kshatriya, or if you are a general in the army. If you are a business person. And in the olden days, it was open. You know, Kshudras, we have seen, could become great pandits like Tukaram And then Kshatriyas could become great scholars, like Buddha was a Kshatriya, Janak was a Kshatriya. They were born in a Kshatriya family, but they were realized masters. Mahatma Gandhi was a Vaishya, was born to a Vaishya family and became a great Mahatma. So, but unfortunately, this by birth or by family is a corruption. The second idea that we have to get out of our head is that no caste is superior to the other. Even though, yes, society values it differently. Businessman makes more than his employee in the factory. That is the nature of economics. But to consider somebody inferior or superior based on worth is a wrong thinking, because all of the entire society, they need all four. Society cannot function without all four, like they're talking about deporting all the Mexicans. If that suppose happens, millions suppose are deported. First of all, it's going to create so much chaos here and chaos in Mexico, economic. And then after they are gone, who's going to pick up your fruits from the farms? Nobody. There's not going to be any farm workers. The fruit is going to be rotting on the trees. It's going to become so expensive. Who's going to work in the home? Who's going to work in the factories? Who's going to work in the janitors? Who's going to the gardeners? All the gardener employees are Mexicans. All the lower labor, not lower in the sense of category, but the ones who work are all, so all need to be respected. Everyone needs to be respected because they are all an integral part of society. So to consider one caste to be inferior or superior is wrong, because our ancient Vedantic faith says there is one consciousness and everybody is one. Vasudeva Kutumbakam, he says we are all one family. We are all Vasudev's children. We are all Krishna's children. We are all Jesus's children. That's why Jesus said, love thy neighbor. He didn't say, love thy Christian neighbor. Whoever your neighbor is, whether he's Christian or Hindu or Muslim, whatever the neighbor is, should be loved. So this misunderstanding we have to remove, that the castes are rigid and everybody is free to progress. You're free to evolve, you're free to progress, you're free to get yourself better, and nobody is condemned to a life of servitude. So even a person who is doing service can, grow up and start his own business and become very successful. We have heard stories of people who had nothing and then they became great. This reminds me of a story. So there was this person who applied to Microsoft for a job of a janitor. And so they found his qualifications good and they said, you're good, so we can hire you, but send us your email. So we have to send you the confirmation and all the, conditions of employment. Send us your email. This was earlier days when the people didn't have email. Not everybody had email. It was, the computer age was starting. So he said, I don't have email. He was applying for a janitor's job. He said, I don't have email. So he said, sorry, you don't have email. You cannot work for Microsoft. You are not qualified. So even a janitor's job, Microsoft is the home of email, right? So they rejected him. So he was quite disappointed. So what happened was he had $10 in his pocket. That's all the money he had. What can I do? So he said, $10. He said, let me go to the wholesale market. He went to the wholesale market, bought $10 worth of tomatoes, took them to the, went from house to house, picked up, got a small cart, and from house to house, he sold them. So from $10, he made $20. The next day, he bought $20 of tomatoes, again went from house to house, made $40. Slowly, slowly, he's increased. So he bought a bigger cart, and then he bought a small store, small shop, selling vegetables. And his business, he was hardworking, kept growing so much that in a few years, he was the number one wholesaler of food products in the whole US. That, big he became. This is a true story. So then one day, there was this agricultural magazine. So the reporter was interviewing him. He wanted to interview who is the number one food, supplier in the whole US. So he says, and then he asked all the questions, how you did and all that. So then he says, sir, can I have your email address? Because I want to send my story to you. before I publish it. So can I have your email address? He says, I don't have email. He says, you don't have email? He says, no. He says, imagine what would have happened if you had email. He said, I would have been still been a janitor in Microsoft. So that's what, you know, this thing does, because we get this idea of, just close it fully, please. Huh? Thank you. We get this idea of this is superior and this is inferior and email. So we get so caught up in that. And so that's, we have to see that this whole world is one. And that is what the message of the Bhagavad Gita is. So last week we had talked about the qualities of a Brahmana. Krishna had told us that what are the qualities of a Brahmana. He says, we don't have it, I'm just summarizing from last week. He says, if you are a Brahmana, these are the qualities you must have. Verse number 42, he said, Shama, Dama, Tapa, Shaucham, Shantir, Arjavam, Evacha, Jnanam, Vijnanam, Astikyam, Brahma Karma, Swabhavajam. So if you are a Brahmana, you must have Shama, control of the mind. You must have Dama, control of the senses. You must have Tapa, austerity, you know, be willing to fast and do some activity of austerity. Shaucham, cleanliness, purity. Shanti, forgiveness. Arjavam, straightforwardness. Jnanam, knowledge. Vijnanam, practical knowledge. So the point is that if you have these qualities, then you can be called a Brahmana. And Brahmana does not mean a one who has a choti or has a thread and all. Brahmana means Brahmani Charati Iti Brahmana. One who is on the path of Brahman is a Brahmana. So all of us are Brahmanas, because all of us have this book. We are reading it. Why? Because we want to get spiritually better. That's why we are studying the Bhagavad Gita. So if you are on the spiritual path, you automatically are called a Brahmana. So the point is that if I am a spiritual seeker, why? These qualities I must have. I must have self-control. I must be able to do without, you know, without food, maybe fast for a while, or give up certain things I don't need. Have cleanliness, have purity, have forgiveness in my heart, have straightforwardness. I must have this spiritual knowledge, and then I must apply this knowledge in my life. So the point is that if I am a spiritual seeker, I should develop these qualities. If I don't have them fully, none of us has them fully, I should be developing these qualities. So these are the qualities of a Brahmana. And Brahmana, who is he? Who is a spiritual seeker. So today we shall talk about Kshatriya, which I have here, and then Vaishyas and Shudras, the next three classes. So verse number 43. Shauryam tejo dhritir dakshyam. Yuddhe chapya palayanam. Danam ishvara bhavascha. Shatram karma svabhavajam. So kshatram karma svabhavajam. Kshatra, so karma. So what are the qualities of a kshatri? Kshatram karma svabhavajam. Svabhava is a word that is used many times in this Bhagavad Gita. I'll explain it today. There is a difference between vasanas and svabhava. Vasanas are, as you can see the V up there, are the tendencies I was born with. And it could be from many lifetimes. And then in this lifetime, I strengthen them. Vasanas are result of ego and selfish tendencies. Generally, vasanas can be good tendencies also. But the idea is that they are inborn and they are very strong. Swabhava is my natural inclination. What I am inclined to do, what I enjoy doing, what is my interest, what am I good at? Like, you know, people in the same family, you find that one child is very good in music, another one is good in science, another third one is good in sports, the fourth one is good for nothing, you know, he's on drugs. So this is all Part of it is their vasanas from birth, and then what is their inclination, depending on the family, depending on the parents, what they are encouraged. So swabhava means inclination. So as a result of vasanas working through our mind and intellect, we develop certain interests, a certain inclination. So what is the swabhava? What is the tendency? What is the work of a kshatriya? Again, it says not from birth. What is his work? What is his qualities? What he should have? A kshatriya, a leader, should have these following qualities. Shauryam. Shauryam means courage, bravery. Teja. Teja means brilliance. Dhriti. Dhriti means persistence, fortitude, the ability to continue on a path that he has decided. Daksham. Daksham means dexterity, excellence, being excellent in his work. Yudhe cha api palayanam means not running away from battle. Na cha api palayanam, not running away from battle. Why is he telling? Because Arjuna wanted to run away, not out of fear, but out of a delusion, moha. He wanted to leave the battle and go to the forest and meditate. So Krishna is trying to tell him that you're a kshatriya. And at this moment, your mind is, you're a warrior. You were trained as a warrior. And today you have a chance to fight for good against evil. The evil is standing in front of you. And if you leave this battle, you will be running away from your natural inclination. And then once you go to the forest, what will happen? Your kshatriya mind will not suddenly become sattvic, brahmana, meditating. You will be sitting on meditation and thinking, that Duryodhana, I should have killed him. You know, then how can you meditate when you have so much anger, so much, you know. So you have to use these tendencies in the right field, in the right action. You have this kshatriya blood in you. Utilize it for serving the country. And then later in your, once you have done that, and in his later years, when after Arjuna and all the Pandavas had finished, Yudhishthira and all finished ruling, and they had, then they gave their kingdom to their grandson, and they retired and they went into the forest and meditated for many years. So when your mind is ready, and some of us, you know, somebody maybe even at age 8 or 9 ready to be meditative, Raman Maharishi, we have heard about Shankaracharya ji, so many great saints and sages at very, very young age, they were already realized masters. So age is not a criteria, it is the frame of mind. So yudhe cha api palayanam. So here for us, it's not, we don't fight any battles, we don't go to war, but we have challenges in our life. We have obstacles. So the ability to face challenges. Danam. Danam is charity and encouraging the people below us to come up. And Ishvara Bhava. Ishvara Bhava means lordship. Lordship again does not mean by birth, but the ability to lead people. So that is the qualities of a kshatriya. So we'll spend a little bit time talking about each. So shauryam, so bravery. So bravery is necessary for a leader, right? If a leader, I don't think I can do it, you know, I'm scared. Once he has taken a decision, once he has taken a path, then not afraid. Because if you are fearful, you cannot be a leader. You know, I'm afraid, I don't think I can do it. Maybe I cannot, maybe. So if you're doing maybe, you know, yes, you consult people, you talk to the right people, get the right advice. And then once you start, then you are powerful. Powerful again does not mean throwing his weight around or bullying people, but having the strength of his conviction, having the right knowledge, then he says, I'm going to proceed. So nothing should stop this person once he's on the path. Not halfway through, you know, turning around and not confident. So having confidence. And that is the second quality, brilliance. Brilliance again means he is bright, he's intelligent, he stands out in a crowd. You know who is the leader. When there are a few people, you know, in a gathering, you know who the leader is. You don't have to, he doesn't have to have a signboard or a little, you know, name badge. You know who the leader is. The ability to stand out. Talking about stand out, this is a joke, just take it in a good spirit. You know, women say all men are alike. You know, women always say that all men are alike, which is true, they are. But anyway, you know who's the first one who said all men are alike? A Chinese woman who lost her husband in a soccer match in the crowd. Take it in the right spirit. I thought it's a funny joke, so anyway, so he has the ability to stand out. You know who the leader is. Then persistence, as we talked before. Once I have taken a decision, once the company is in the right direction, doesn't matter if obstacles come, people are opposing me, people are telling me not to do it, doesn't matter. I will continue it. Like, for example, when we decided to build this mission, there was a lot of opposition from certain very prominent people in the town saying you are, dividing the community, you should not build this own center and this and that, and a lot of opposition. Those of us who were on the board, we decided to persist. We got a lot of advice from Swami Tejomayananda ji and Ishwarananda ji, and which is I'm glad we did, because this center has become a center of education, and the majority of the people in Bakersfield live in this southwest. So that's why we wanted to build it in this part of town. And so obstacles will come. Whenever you start any project, whether it's a good project or whatever, doesn't matter, but some people will not like you. Some people will not like it. So if you are a leader, it is your duty to continue to persist. Doesn't matter who is opposed, doesn't matter what the obstacles are, but I must continue my journey, my path. Of course, here we're not talking about spiritual journey. A Kshatriya is not interested in spirituality or meditation. His idea is financial success, power, worldly success. My company should grow. I should have three, four franchises. I should, so that his goal is power. His goal is, and again, he could be a leader of a country. Okay, my country should be the most powerful country. It should be the richest country. I should, dominate other countries. So that's why the power can sometimes corrupt. So a leader will talk about that, how the leader should be guided. The leader should be guided by right knowledge, and we'll talk about that in the next verse. So Yudhe Cha, up then, the next one is dexterity or excellence. He should be good in his work. He should be well qualified. He should know what he's doing and do it excellence, with dexterity. He should be qualified. That's what they're saying. He should be the right person for the job. So you don't make anybody or everybody a leader. That's why in HR, in human relations, when they hire, they first find a job and then hire the right person for the job. But a lot of times what happens is the boss's son or the boss's brother-in-law gets hired. Now he has no qualification, but because the boss, right, now he's hired, now they're looking for work for him. Let us create a job, right? It happens in all the in the corporate sector. They hire a person and now they're trying to create a job which will fit his. That's not the way. You find the job, get the right person, and if he's not fully qualified, he's close to it, you can train him to get better. So he is the right person for the job. And then we talked about face challenge, do or die. Once I have, problems will come, challenges will come in my life. There is no question about it. But I am ready to die for my principles. Die here in the sense means if I'm not able to do it, I'll resign. So that strength of conviction, and we find example is John F. Kennedy in 1963 or 62, when Cuba had these, the Russians were putting atomic weapons in Cuba, and that would be like only 100 miles from the US. And Kennedy said, we cannot allow nuclear weapons to be placed right close to us. And so he said, I'm not going to allow the Russian ships to come. And so he put an embargo. And if I said, if any Russian ship comes, we'll be shot down. And people said, you know what? This is going to create a third world war. Because if you stop the Russian ships, they are going to attack us with nuclear weapons, and we'll have to, and it'll be the end of the whole world. What are you doing? He had a lot of opposition, even from his own advisors. But he said, no, this is not right. I'm not going to allow nuclear weapons 100 miles from my border. And he put the embargo. He said, let's see what the Russians do. He said, let's challenge them. He said, if they come, I will shoot them down. And guess what? The Russians realized that they're facing a strong adversary, and they turned around their ships, and nuclear weapons never came. So that is the hallmark of a leader, not somebody who just gets scared if any problem is there, but the ability to face challenge and do or die. I have to do it, otherwise I'll resign, otherwise I will quit. So that ability in a leader is necessary. Then the other word is danam, that is charity. So what it means is that he should, first of all, because they're financially doing very well, the leaders, you know, the business leaders and the head of the corporations and all, and the rulers, the big, you know, powerful, I mean, not the business, but the leaders, like the senators, congressmen, presidents, generals, and all. So they are doing financially well, so they should share with others, and that will come more in the Vaishyas. Vaishyas also, where they have more money, it is my duty to share others. But in the case of a leader, what it means is encouraging my subordinates. Like if I'm a CEO or if I'm a manager of one section, I should encourage my subordinates to come up and help them to get better. You can recognize them, maybe give them some donations, maybe give them some cash prizes. Sometimes you don't have to do anything. Just give them a small medal or a small little trophy. You know, just have a big gathering at the annual gathering. There are 5,000 people. You call this guy. It's a $20 or $30 trophy or $50. You record in front of everybody. It's on TV. You know, the outstanding employee of the year. You know, they do that. And so what happens to that guy? You only spend $30 or $40, but he's so inspired that, look, my work was recognized in front of all these thousands of people. Not only that, but other people say, you know, if he got it, next year I should get employee of the year, employee of the month. So danam is not only doing charity and helping people who are less fortunate than us. That is our duty. If we have more, we should give. There is a very famous saying in by Kabir Das Ji. He says, it's very nice. He says, Pani baadhe naav mein, ghar mein baadhe daam, dono haath ulichiye, yahi sadhu ka kaam. So he says, a sadhu, a wise person, what should he do? He says, Pani baadhe naav mein, just if too much water is coming in the boat, what are you going to do, right? Dono haath ulichiye, with both hands you will throw out. If you don't have a bucket, with both hands you will empty, otherwise your boat will drown. Pani baadhe naav mein, ghar mein baadhe daam. And if you have too much money in your house, dono haath ulichiye, give it with both hands. Yehi sadhu ka kaam. Because otherwise the money will drown you. Just as too much water in the house will make you sink, too much money in the house also creates all, you know, that's why they say money is the root of all evils. It does not mean that one should not have, but if you have too much money and if you give too much to your children while they are growing up and spoil them, and what happens? They grow up used to all these things and then they cannot make a living for themselves. So, pani baadhe naav mein, ghar mein baadhe daam, dono haath ulichiye, give it with both hands. Yehi sadhu ka kaam. So, that is called danam, that is called charity, encouraging people below us to do better. And then lordship. Lordship means the ability to lead, the ability to guide others and inspire others. This reminds me of Churchill. Churchill in the Second World War, when Germany was rapidly taking hold of Europe and France surrendered without even a fight, and the Prime Minister was this Neville Chamberlain of England, totally useless person, very weak, not a good Prime Minister, very weak leader. Oh, we should try and cooperate with them. Maybe they will listen to us if we do the right, if we do the right thing. It's like turning the other cheek. For some people, it's okay. But if somebody is not going to listen, then you have to stand up. You have to fight for your rights. And so they finally removed him and made Churchill the prime minister. And his first speech was so powerful. People, all of them thought that Britain is never going to survive. They were constantly being bombed by the Nazis, you know, by the Germans. Everyday bombers were coming. Whole of London was being destroyed. And his first speech was, he said, never ever we will surrender. Never. We will fight till the last. Till the last Britisher is alive. I will never surrender. Never give up. And he said, all I want is your blood, toil, sweat and tears. He said, I need that. I needed that from every Englishman so that we have to fight this. We are not going to surrender. We are not going to give up. Even if all of us die in the process, every inch of land we will fight for. It's a very, very powerful speech. And that inspired England, you know, to stand up. And of course, then America came and helped. And then the other side, Germans attacked Russia. So that's why they got into trouble, because on the one hand, they were fighting Russia. On the other hand, England, and then America came with all its weapons. And then, of course, Germany was alone. They couldn't survive. But the point is that a leader does not give up, does not surrender, is not weak. You know, so that is the qualities of a leader. And that is swabhavajam. That is inborn in him. That is his tendency. That is his characteristics. That is his inclination. And some leaders are born, others are trained. You know, somebody starts in a lower job. Okay, he works for, like, so works for the assemblyman, or works like our McCarthy. He was working for Bill Thomas as an intern. And slowly, slowly now, you know, he's the head of the entire Republican Party, you know, in Congress. So he may start out low, but if he has goal is high, then that is the qualities of a leader who has a high goal in mind. So that is kshatram karma swabhavajam.
The caste. When in history did the humanity take over and started using the caste system for their advantage? When did they distort the whole cause and meaning behind it?
I think in the it started after around 0 AD. In the BC it was good, and then slowly. The time after Christ, 600, 700, it got worse and worse and got more and more corrupted. So I would say in the last 2,000 years or 1,500 to 2,000 years. Before that, it was a very enlightened concept, because this caste system is there everywhere in the world. Even here we have, you know, we have soldiers, we have, you know, research people, we have business people, we have workers. But it's not on birth.
But it's not abused, I think.
It's not abused, right? In India it is. And the lower caste, they call them lower. Actually, there's no lower or higher. Mm-hmm. But the workers were condemned to that life of servitude and looked down upon as not associated.
Because there was a time in India where in temples, lower castes were not allowed,
yes,
to go in and
right,
pray.
Yes, yes, absolutely. In fact, there is a story of a saint, I forget his name, but he was of a lower caste, so-called, and he was not allowed to go to the temple. And so he was crying because he wanted to get a darshan of the Lord. And the Lord is kept in the back, you know, in the Hindu temples. And they have this garbhagraha, and then the Lord is way in the back. And the devotees have to go through the entire temple to see them. And he was not allowed to enter. So he was crying and very miserable. So he went to the back of the temple, and there was a window. And from there, he was trying to see the Lord, and he could only see the back of the murti, and he was crying and crying. And it is said the murti turned around. The statue actually turned around for him, and that's the only temple in the world where the Lord faces the back because of his devotion. So you know, that is the power of devotion, that even the Lord himself can bend for such a person. So that murti,
Kanakadasa,
right. So the murti actually... Udipi, the murti faces backwards. Yes, yes. It faces the back window.
I mean, the vasana.
Vasana is inbuilt in us. Vasana is our tendency from birth and from multiple births. Swabhava is what we do with our vasanas. So in this life, I'm born with certain tendencies, and then based on my surroundings, based on my upbringing, based on my family, I develop certain inclinations. So swabhava is vasana combined with the circumstances. So these are my tendencies, these are my inclinations, not my deep tendencies, but what is my nature, what is my swabhava. So it depends on like what kind of college I went to, what kind of school I went to, what were my friends. So based on that, I get certain interests, you know, like I went to school and my friends, like in my case, I was very sick as a child. I was in the hospital 3-4 times. I had multiple surgeries. I almost died one time, actually. I had to be shifted by ambulance to the hospital, and I was very close to death. So I met so many doctors and hospitals, I decided to become a doctor because I was so inspired. I mean, our family doctor was so brilliant. He was so compassionate and he was my inspiration. I said, I want to be a doctor like he was. So that is called Swabhava, where based on the surroundings, based on the environment, you develop your tendencies.
But at the same time, Swabhava also is something born, you are born with it.
Yes.
You know, there's a lot of character, we can see that.
True.
Yeah, so, and it may get amplified with the surroundings.
Yes, I agree 100%. So what he was, when you want to distinguish what you are born with, you can call vasana, and when it gets amplified, that is called swabhava. So it is, yes.
Inclination. That is what distinguishes a Churchill from a
Hitler. Yes. Yeah, he's the motive, absolutely. Yes.
Swabhava is a self character, can translate that.
Right. Self-character, it is very close to vasana. It's, they are actually very connected. But you know, if you really want to, you know, kehte na wo baal ki khal nikalna, you want to split hairs, then that is. But that is actually Gurudev in his commentary says that. I don't know whether it was in his tape or in the book, but I also listened to his tape. So he says swabhava is the inclination or tendency, while vasana is the inborn. So what happens after birth, you do what you do with that vasana is called swabhava. That's what Gurudev says in his commentary.
The word drupi, the firmness, it can be a positive firmness or a negative firmness.
Yes, yes.
Like Hitler, all he wanted to do is conquer.
Right.
He didn't care how he hurt it.
Right. Absolutely, no. So leader is one who has that, but then with what he uses, how he uses his dhriti, it decides whether he's a good leader or a bad leader. Here they are mostly talking about a good leader, whom Arjuna was, what Arjuna should be. But yes, the same qualities, shauryam, you know, bravery, courage, powerful, brilliance, persistence, except for charity, all of the others can be used in the wrong way. To grow my power irrespective of what happens. Yes. So that would discriminate between a good leader or a bad leader, just as, you know, there can be a good worker in the factory or a bad worker. You know, they both work, but one does the right job, other one, you know, wastes time. So it's that's.
Now the vasana did not come to him?
Yes. Right, the vasana. The question is that suppose somebody is born in a Brahmana family and is not able to chant, is not a good teacher. So he doesn't have the vasana, even though he's born in that particular family. He's born for other reasons, but he does not have the tendency for chanting, for teaching. And maybe such a person should, you know, go and work or maybe go into business or something, you know, do something different. You know, he's not qualified. Yeah, he's not qualified to be a teacher, so he should take up another job instead of being forcing him to. Or like in our families especially, you know, the person has a musical talent or wants to be an artist, or no, artist doesn't make any money, you know, you have to become a doctor or engineer. In fact, our kids made a play one time, you know, our kids, and this man becomes an alien, you know, the play was Alien. So one of the boys cried, to doctor nahi bana, to engineer nahi bana, to alien ban gaya. Means you didn't become a doctor, you didn't become an engineer, you became an alien. That guy is an alien. So, I mean, the point is that our Indian families think that you have to, no, you know, you have to allow the child to grow. I mean, sometimes they may, out of wrong thinking, they might say, you know, I want to, because he did a good job in the play, and so the teacher tells him. So, but if he has thought it through correctly, and if he has the tendency to do good in art and all, like I have a friend who is a pulmonologist, very, very successful in Florida, and his son became an actor. So I was surprised. I said, you know, mostly doctors, they don't want their son becoming an actor. He said he wanted to go to the New York School of Acting. He got accepted, which is the number one school in the country. And he said, Dad, I want to go. So he went, and he's actually doing reasonably well. He has some small parts in TV shows, and he may or he may not be very successful, but at least he's doing what he enjoys doing. That's what my friend said. He said, I'm not going to force him. If that's what he wants to do, let him do it. So not that many parents are that enlightened, you know. it's difficult to see your son struggling, but that is he enjoys it. See, he enjoys acting. He doesn't mind, you know, living in sharing a small apartment with some friends, and, you know, living in poverty, sort of relative poverty, and all. He's in what he wants. So that is called swabhavajam. You know, that is his swabhava. So let him do it.
Most of the Indian actions are related to monitoring.
Yes, absolutely. Vaishyas.
And then the president, they also look at that.
Right, right.
You know, when they pick the leader.
Right.
Or when they pick the profession.
Exactly.
You know, they pick the friends.
The son-in-law.
Everything, son-in-law.
Absolutely.
But that is evident because certain professions pay more than the other. And as an example, take the actor. He may be living on subsistence from the government. Who knows?
Right.
You know, you want that to be your son? That's your concern.
No, yesterday we talked about it, Ravi, in the car. I said, you know, he can be all you care is a man who's picking up the garbage. But in his profession, you know, he's successful and he's happy. You cannot say, you know, he's not making money. And also, we talked about it in the car yesterday.
Right.
And I say to that, you know, we all always are arguing about this, you know, engineer, doctor, we're always arguing about this. Anyways, and I said, if he didn't do his job, then where would we be?
Exactly.
We would have to pick up our own garbage.
Well, the thing is that the reality of it is that if he doesn't make the money, it's okay because the parents are living for him anyways. they rather not have anything, but maybe they gotta have it for six generations.
That's not true. He may not be able to control that.
No, but maybe he may really be poor, you know, but that's what actually the verse number 45 talks about it, that when you do your duty, whatever job you're assigned, you do it well, do it honestly, without likes and dislikes, whatever you are qualified, you can reach the highest. So that's it. I agree with her point. A, everybody is important. B, if he's being a good garbage man and cleaning the streets well, he and he's doing it as a service of the Lord, it doesn't matter the job. It is the attitude with which the job is done. And so everybody needs to be respected. So that is the essence of this teaching. That we are all important. Everybody is important, and it's based on their swabhava, not based on birth. Yeah. Om sarve bhavantu sukhinah, sarve santu niramayah, sarve bhadrani pashyantu, ma kaschid dukha bhavave. Om shanti shanti shanti. Hari Om Shri Guru Yoga. Hari Om. Thank you.